Pleased to be joined by ESPN's Tim Kirkjian, MLB analyst, and a part of the Baseball Tonight coverage. And you and I have been on a bit of a downer here talking about the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Tim has some big-time personal news to share.
Oh.
What was the weekend like for you, Tim?
Well, this is really not necessary, but we had an engagement party for my daughter. She'll get married next summer to a guy from Buffalo. Oh. So it was a tremendous party at our house. I'm a little worried if that was just the engagement party, what is the wedding going to look like? But it was really successful, and she was very happy, which is all that matters. But I'm totally exhausted, and I have no more money left.
Well, there you go.
And if, congratulations.
Congratulations. And if her fiance is from Buffalo, hopefully he gets a good 6 to 8 games of Vlad Guerrero Jr. playing for the Bisons on the fast track to Toronto. That's a story for another day. Tim, where do you see this Blue Jays team at right now? Because, I mean, let's be honest, the Oakland A's, I mean, I don't think they stink, but they are a middling group at best. And they came in and swept a four-game series. The Jays hadn't been swept at home in a four-gamer since 2001, and that was a powerful Red Sox team. I mean, it really feels if there was any air left in the balloon, it all got pulled out this weekend.
Well, first off, the A's are better than you think they are, especially offensively. But ultimately, you're right here. You can't let anyone come in and beat you four in a row in your building, and that's what happened. And the bottom line is, the Blue Jays are not going to the playoffs. That's fairly obvious now. And then now comes the really difficult realities and the difficult questions. If we're not going to the playoffs, what do we have to do to get there sooner rather than later? And what work has to be done to make this team better going forward? And you guys talked about it. Do you trade Jay Happ? Do you trade Margot Strader? Do you trade Josh Donaldson? And when do you do that? That's the hard part. This is where GMs earn all their money. Are we in or are we out? And as they set the course for the next team that will be playing in Toronto, are they going to move the people at the right time and get the value in return? It's really hard to do in baseball, but that's what the Blue Jays are going to be charged with over the next couple of years. Is not just moving people, but moving them at the right time and getting the right amount in return.
Tim, I've got a set of eyes just like everybody else does. And if I'm watching Josh Donaldson right now, something's not right. And the question we all have is, to what extent is something not right? But he's clearly struggling with that right arm, that shoulder. He's not hitting right now. So with that as the backdrop, my question for you is this. The numbers are the numbers with Josh Donaldson, but the reputation and the resume over a number of seasons are also the reputation and the resume over a number of seasons. If I am a general manager with a playoff bubble or potentially playoff-bound team on my hands, how am I looking at Josh Donaldson right now?
Well, that's a great question. You first have to determine, is he injured? And if so, how badly is he injured? And players are not very good at acknowledging things like that because they want to play and they don't want to always tell the truth. And there's something to admire there. I saw him throwing in spring training and I went, whoa, what is wrong there? And when you have a shoulder injury, either shoulder, it's going to affect you at the plate. So he's got to get this, he's got to get healthy, he's got to get this turned around. And then, if I'm a contender, I take a big leap at Josh Donaldson, hoping, if he's healthy, that he finds that playoff form and that really good swing of his and becomes an impact player down the stretch. I would take that chance. However, if you got to give up two really good young players to get Josh Donaldson as a rental, and you're not positive that he's healthy, that's a very tricky thing to do, and that's why I think he's still on this team, is that they have to weigh all the factors, and it is not an easy decision.
Tim, like, in terms of this season, like, if he continues like this, and when teams, it's hard to figure out exactly where he's at, but if he continues like this all the way up to the trade deadline, what are you looking at in terms of return? Because at that point, I think you're right, it's almost entirely speculative.
Yes, and the longer you go, in theory, without trading him, the less you're going to get. Because the team could say, if we traded for him today, at least we get him for the rest of May, June, July, August, September, and October. But if you do it at the end of July, it's a two-month rental for the regular season. And yet, it's tough to trade your best player at this point, but when he's not swinging well, and at least to me, it's clear in this division, you're not going to the playoffs. This is when really difficult decisions have to be made, and I think they have to be made sooner rather than later.
It's almost a worst-case scenario, isn't it? Because if you have a team that's crashing and you have what was your number one asset, I mean, you can talk about Marco Estrada or Jay Happ or other guys who could go out the door, but if you're in a position where you could lose this guy for nothing, and it's better to make the decision sooner rather than later, and he's not hitting or throwing well now, it's like the Jays are getting painted into a corner day by day.
Right. And again, not to change the subject, but the Orioles are in a very similar position. They are not going to the playoffs. They're in way worse shape right now than the Blue Jays. But one of their guys was telling me the other day, the future of the Orioles will be determined by what we do the next 2 months in trading of, you know, some star players. Machado has to go somewhere. You have to think logically Adam Jones, free agent at the end of the year, is going to go somewhere. Maybe Brad Brock, who could really help a team down the stretch, and maybe even Zach Britton, who could really, really help a team. But if the Orioles don't get the right value for those guys, they could retard the growth of this team for years to come. So they have to wait for the perfect time to make those deals. And again, the perfect time isn't always obvious.
With Tim Kirchen of ESPN, you're listening to Scott MacArthur, Bruce Arthur on the Holiday Monday edition of Overdrive, TSN 1050, and you're watching on TSN 2. Tim, they often say where there's smoke, there's fire. And on this Machado stuff, it doesn't even feel like it's smoke. It feels like the fire is everywhere. Machado and the Chicago Cubs. I know nothing is a formality here, and I don't anticipate Theo Epstein is just going to dive in at this guy unless it fits for him. But do the Cubs seem like the most likely destination at this point? You can't read anybody these days without that coming up.
Right. It's very difficult to read our new young GMs today. They're very close to the vest. This is no surprise. But yes, the Cubs make a lot of sense because he is obviously an impact player. And I'm guessing here, like everyone else, they have someone to offer to at least get this deal started. And that would be Addison Russell, who's a really good player. And the Orioles need a shortstop if they trade Manny Machado. So yes, that makes sense. But Theo Epstein spent an enormous amount of time building this organization. And even though he has to strike and go get a veteran player, Manny Machado is only 25, 26 years old, he's not going to give away the entire team for a guy he's not even positive he can sign after the season. That's put his situation, as well as Donaldson, in a tricky spot for these teams. If you give up the world to get these guys and you're only renting them like Machado, that's a tough, tough thing to do.
One thing that we're going to get tomorrow, Tim, is we're going to get to see the Shohei Ohtani show. Also other guys on the team who I understand are of various levels of celebrity and quality. I mean,
Trout's okay, I think.
Mike Trout, yeah, pretty decent player. But what of everything that Ohtani has done, what has maybe struck you as the most significant?
Well, he's hit more homers than he's allowed. Think about that for a second, okay? We're almost to June. It's amazing what he's done. To be 23 years old, come to a new country, play a game that is so hard to play and is a different game than the one they play in Japan in a lot of ways, and to be a two-way player who is exceptional so far at both is remarkable. And the fact that nobody since Babe Ruth has done this, and he's doing it at that age, coming from another country, is even more remarkable. And what stuns me as much as anything, beyond the power and the 100 mile an hour fastball and that ridiculous split he throws, is how well he runs. I hope you guys get to watch him hit a ball to right center field and leg out a triple, and you will go, oh my gosh, that's a pitcher. But he's not a pitcher. He's a hitter, too. He's both. And doing both at this stage is just incredible.
I mean, you said it. Like, no one's tried this, really, or succeeded this since Babe Ruth. obviously athleticism is a huge part of it, but why, Tim, do you think that over all those years it's never been done once?
Well, because baseball is afraid to make any sort of changes, and I understand why, especially now when so many guys get hurt, you just can't justify it. I wrote this story in 1990 at Sports Illustrated. Why can't we have a two-way player? 1990, and here it is 28 years later, and we finally have something close to it. John Olerud, I thought, could have been a two-way player, but even John Olerud, as good as he was as a pitcher, is not as good a pitcher as Ohtani has been so far. So it's just a really difficult combination to hit and to pitch as a young guy like this. He's doing them both, but hopefully teams will look at this and say, hey, this is workable, but it's going to take an exceptional person to do this.
Tim, this is not a new topic, but I always like to come back to it because I really don't think, especially us here in the Eastern time zone, get the opportunity to see Mike Trout play enough. This guy, and it's funny with Ohtani because he's a great player too, but he's almost out-celebritized a guy like Mike Trout, who really is in the conversation with the all-time greats, especially of guys his age, you know, first 6, 7, 8 years in the big leagues. And I'll sometimes say when Kershaw pitches to Trout in interleague play down in Southern California, it really is like Koufax throwing to Mantle. Is Mike Trout properly celebrated for his greatness?
I don't think so. I think he's even better than people think he is. Now, keep in mind, only one other guy, he's the only guy that's ever finished in the top two of the MVP voting in each of his first two seasons. And he did it in each of his first five seasons, which is just absurd. He runs like a deer. He weighs 235 pounds. He's an amazing defensive player. There isn't anything he can't do. And because he hasn't done much or been to the playoffs much, we kind of forget how great he is. But just look at the numbers. Talk to anyone in the game. He has been the best player in baseball for 5 years. And I'm not sure there's really been a close second over that time.
When you look at Mike Trout, what could he do in terms of the national consciousness? Because it's often been said that individual players don't sell tickets. If he was on a contending team year in, year out, how much would it change?
Well, it would change if they go to the playoffs every year, and we see him in October every year, and he does something big in October, and that's going to happen, I believe, because the Angels got knocked out of the playoffs. Last team get knocked out of the playoffs last year. Now, to me, they're a demonstrably better team with Ohtani, healthier Pujols, some other additions. So I think we're going to see more of Mike Trout, and the good thing is he's getting better every year, which is a scary thought given how good he was at 21. Now he walks all the time. He steals more bases now. He could pretty much do whatever he wanted. This spring he said, I'm not going to strike out. So he went 41 plate appearances this spring before he struck out. That just doesn't happen in today's game.
Thanks for your time, Tim. Congratulations on the big weekend. Get some rest, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, guys. See you.
Tim Kirkjian of ESPN, an analyst for baseball tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The show's coming to town, and you're like, the Angels are coming to town. That's the show. Trout and Ohtani.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And oh, that Pujols guy isn't what he was.
No,
but he is what he is, which is a first ballot Hall of Famer,
a venerable, treasured member of the baseball community.
3,000 career hits now, or 3,000 plus in the 600 home run club. Ain't bad.